to Dear Hank and John.
Nor as I prefer to think of it, Dear John and Hank.
It's a podcast where two brothers answer your questions, give you dubious advice, and bring you all the week's news from both Mars and AFC Wimbledon. John.
Yeah.
Did you know that you can put any boat on your head as a hat?
I did not know that.
All you have to do is turn it over so it's capsized.
Hmm. Yes.
Mm.
That's a pun.
I like that one.
It would be really hard to make me laugh right now, I'll be honest with you. Yeah. I do not feel well.
Yeah.
Now, I want to be clear that Hank did not make me record this podcast.
I gave him so many opportunities to not do it.
He said, you should feel free to not record the podcast. But just so you know, I don't have any guests, and it's been a couple weeks since we were together. That's what he said.
I didn't say that. And I totally could have got a sub.
And so I have risen from my COVID sickbed. Drenched in sweat to make a podcast out of, I want to be clear about this, a desire to have exactly one conversation.
Yeah.
And Hank, I look forward to whatever questions from our listeners you can dig up.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to talk to you in public about something
I know you mentioned on Twitter. I know what it is.
That has me deeply disturbed.
Mm.
We need to have a talk, a very serious talk. You recently tweeted that you were outside of a Jiffy Lube and three different people screamed Hank Green at you and that was like not as relaxing as you would have preferred. And I agree, that's not relaxing. Now, we both genuinely like when people encounter us in public and they come up and they say hello and say something nice about us or our work. Like, that is a lovely experience. I don't want to speak for you, but like in general, like we are happy to take selfies and it's genuinely nice. It is something we enjoy.
Yeah. The exception I would throw in there is if I'm like actively doing a thing with Catherine or Oren and like we're trying to get the thing done. If it looks like that, then, hey, you saw us.
Right, exactly.
but I love to chat a little bit and find out why people know who I am or et cetera.
But
John has informed me of a way to not get yelled at when there's like a full Jiffy Lube parking lot between you and the road.
Right.
And it is so simple. And I have known about it because John's been telling me, and it works so well.
Yeah.
And it is to wear a hat.
Yeah, wear a hat.
And the great thing is, as I said in the intro joke, I can get a hat anytime there's a boat nearby.
That's true. It's very true.
Just put it right on. I own so many hats now because I've realized that this absolutely like it. I think it mostly introduces a little bit of like, I'm just not quite sure if that's Hank.
Yeah.
And so like
the great thing
about people who don't really know who I am,
hardcore fans, still say hi. Like people who are really invested in like Nerdfighteria still say hi. Somebody who saw you on their For You page on TikTok 3 weeks ago might be like, oh. Well, that's a guy in a hat. Can't be Hank Green. He doesn't wear a hat.
They go from like 98% sure to like 60% sure.
Yeah.
And that's not, you don't want to do that. That's weird if you're 60% sure. So it works. And I've seen it work. And what has happened because of this is whenever I go on vacation, I forget to bring a hat. So I have 1,000 hats and I never bring them anywhere with me because I have established habits over my life and I was never a hat wearer.
Well, starting now you are. No more going to get your oil changed without a hat. That sounds like some kind of like code, but it's not. It's just, I mean what I mean.
I could have sat inside of the Jiffy Lube too, but it was a nice day.
All right. That's all I wanted to say, Hank. Wear a hat.
Okay. So in addition to that though, John, I would like to propose the hat code. If I am wearing my Seattle Kraken hat, then you can come up and say hi.
No.
If I am wearing my Suncoast Seabird Sanctuary hat, then you can come up and say hi, but only if you do like something exceptional first. Like I need a handstand or like jump over your own leg, that kind of thing. If I'm wearing my hats hat, that is like the Cats logo, but it says hats instead of cats, then I'm going to need you to not say hi, but you can do a little wave. But it has to be a little wave, and it has to be like above your head, and it has to like be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and that's the whole wave. And then you duck down and you put on your own hat that also says hats, and then you do you could do a pirouette if you can, but if you can't, that's fine.
I just want you to know what you're getting yourself into, which is that on occasion, that will happen, and so you are You are creating the possibility of that occurring.
Yeah. If I'm wearing...
Of there
if
being
I'm wearing,
an entire art... Like somebody walks up to you, does an entire uh-huh. art performance, and then says hello. That is...
If I'm wearing my Missoula Osprey hat, mm-hmm. You cannot say hi. You have to say, play ball!
Okay.
That's how it works.
Oh, God. Okay. Moving on.
So here's our first question from Mackenzie, who asks, Dear Hank and John, I've been asked to house sit 100 ducks. Help. John, help. Do you have duck experience?
I've actually house sat like 70 chickens, and some of them were ducks. So I'm actually an expert in this field.
Uh-huh.
Now, it depends on how long you're house-sitting 100 ducks for. If you're house-sitting 100 ducks for longer than about 4 days, you're going to have to watch some YouTube videos.
But, I think that you're going to, yeah. I mean, that's my first suggestion.
If you're house-sitting 100 ducks for 3 days,
mm-hmm.
food, water,
yeah.
egg collection, and you're going to be okay.
Yeah, I think that you're going to get plenty of advice for how to take care of the ducks from the duck owner. They're going to tell you what to do.
Oh, that's such
what
a good point.
What they're not going to tell
one
you.
One thing people who own 100 ducks will do is let you know about the
they're
care
not,
and feeding of their 100
duck
ducks.
Yeah, but what they're not going to tell you is what else to do with 100 ducks. Like, you feed them, you water them, you walk them. But what else do you do?
Yeah.
Do you fight them? Do you take a lot of selfies? Can you crowd surf on ducks?
No.
Can you take them to a pond?
No.
What else can you do with 100 ducks?
Yeah, I definitely think like setting up an iPhone outside of the duck enclosure. I'm imagining that these 100 ducks don't like live in public, maybe, but there'd be
free.
a lot of duck replenishment if they're just like out and about. I think you fight them, not in like a trying to be fatal way, but people always say like, would you rather fight like one duck-sized humans or 100 human-sized ducks? This is a real opportunity to find out what it's like to fight 100 duck-sized ducks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think you got to have like, you know, the Queensberry rules kind of thing where obviously nobody's allowed to get hurt.
Right.
The referee has to intervene if somebody's down for more than 10 seconds. There needs to be a doctor on site, all that stuff. But I think you fight them.
Yeah. Well, there's always that question, would you rather fight 100 ducks or one horse? And so you need a horse and you'll be the only person who really knows the answer.
And you know what you're going to find out? Is that you'd rather fight 100 ducks.
So I asked on Twitter, what would you do if you had 100 ducks?
Yeah.
Someone said play Duck Duck Goose, which would be a long game of Duck Duck Goose.
God, it'd be so fun though if you had 100 ducks and one goose.
Yeah. Somebody else said, first things first, names.
You're like
Cole.
You're like Adam and Eve being like, and I shall name you Cow, and you shall be Hawk.
You're Hawk?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, gonna start going through weird things from the Star Wars universe. You're Wedge Antilles. You're... I can't remember any other weird people from Star Wars.
Okay, all right.
Dark Lighter.
I would name 26 of them versions of Jar Jar Binks that aren't Jar Jar Binks. So,
oh,
like,
that's great. No, all 100.
Bar Bar Dinks, Car Car Finks, Dar Dar Links, Far Far Ninks. Now just go.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to. You could really mix it up. It could be Larmar Binks.
Yes.
It's
right.
Still a Jar Jar Binks.
You could get 100 Jar Jar Binks rhymes.
Oh, easy.
Easy.
Easy. And then, like, you just call them, like, DDB, and that's Dar Dar
Binks.
Yeah.
Hey, I just realized something, Hank, that's pretty significant.
Uh-huh.
So I just realized what Duck Duck Goose is.
It's a children's game.
I know, man. I understand that. I understand the joke.
Is there like
of
a premise behind it?
I understand
what's
the premise.
The joke? There's you a touch, joke?
Yes. If you touch a duck on the head, nothing happens.
So if you touch a goose, it chases you.
And if you touch a goose, it chases you because they're wild, aggressive animals.
I'm going to end you with my goose parts.
Exactly.
All of these are weapons now.
Yes.
You thought they were soft and fluffy. All of it's weapons.
That's right.
My tail's a weapon. My beak's a weapon. My eyes are weapons.
Shoot my feathers at you if I have to.
like porcupine quills through the air.
Goose.
Yeah. Next time you play Duck Duck Goose, don't just chase, attack.
Oh, yeah.
You catch them, you start flapping, stand on them and flap. Like that.
Did you know that?
No, that's entirely new. You are the one who has let me know that there was a deeper premise to Duck Duck Goose.
I think I've made a discovery.
Well, I bet other people know.
No, I think that I have recovered ancient knowledge, Hank. Like they did in the Renaissance.
Yes, okay.
I think I'm going back to Socrates.
It is sometimes called duck, duck, gray duck, because apparently gray ducks are mean, or quail, quail, quarry, because in New Jersey and New England, where they can say all words, apparently. Quail, quail, quarry? Are you joking me?
All right, Hank, let's move on to another question. All right, Hank, I'm feeling better enough to ask a question. This question comes from Gabe, who asks, quick question, John and Hank. How do I move a tectonic plate, even if it's one of the small ones, like the Indian plate? Could humans do something to push it away from Asia and form its own independent continent? Even if it took hundreds of years and trillions of dollars, could we use rockets or bombs to move it? Bringing tech jobs near you, Gabe. But tect is spelled T-E-C-T, tect. It's an exciting new field, Hank, where we create new continents by moving tectonic plates. It seems like it would go great, but what's the science say?
The science says no. I'm pretty sure
rarely does science answer with two letters, but in this case, it does.
John, the great news is that we don't need to spend trillions of dollars to make anything a continent. The definition of a continent is entirely arbitrary. I know this because many people are taught that there are different numbers of continents than I was taught. I was taught that there were seven. You may have been taught that there are five, or there are six, and I might make up an eighth or ninth or tenth. Not all of Europe even touches itself, technically, maybe. So you can make
why is the UK in Europe? It's not part of Europe. It's literally disconnected from Europe.
Yeah. Why could say that Alaska and Siberia are a continent.
I think you should. I think you should. I've got a proposal. I'm ready, Hank.
Okay.
I've been waiting for this moment.
Uh-huh.
There is the Lena River. It goes through Siberia. It's very big. It's very long. And that is where Asia ends and the continent of Alaska-Beria begins.
Okay. I love it.
And it goes all the way across the rest of Siberia and all of Alaska and maybe a little bit of the Yukon Territory so Canada doesn't get annoyed. And that is our new continent. That's continent eight. There is a little bit of water that separates parts of Siberia, Alaska from other parts of Alaska-Beria, but it's still the same continent, just like it is in Europe.
Yeah, and we're going to go ahead and take all of those sort of upper territories too.
Oh, yeah.
That's part of it as well.
Sure.
Greenland, that's in there too.
Absolutely.
We're gonna put Iceland in too. You're not in Europe anymore. You're in Alaska Beria.
I don't know that you can make the case for Iceland. I guess
okay. People are out here making the case for Europe. I'll make any case that I feel is makeable.
You're right.
What is it? Is Russia obviously in Asia?
Russia is partly in Asia and partly in Europe because continents are made up.
Sure, why not?
And also, Russia is partly in Alaska Beria.
Yeah, obviously.
So large swaths of Russia are, in fact, Alaska-Berian territory. Now, people are going to say, like, oh, there's lots of political tensions between parts of Alaska Beria and other parts of Alaska Beria. Well, there are lots of political tensions in parts of Asia and other parts of Asia, parts of South America,
Africa,
other parts of South
other
America.
Parts of Africa. Yeah.
You think Canada likes us? Come on.
This is a
geopolitical reality, which is that Alaska Beria has a lot more in common with Alaska Beria than Alaska has with Houston, Texas. Like, that's just a fact.
Now, it's also important to note that in response to the original question, that absolutely no, you cannot push. I think that the Indian continental plate is pushing into the Asian continental plate right now, which means that we would have to not just push it, but overcome the force that it is already pushing with. Mm. So that would, that was enough force to make the tallest mountain on Earth, and also a number of other of the tallest mountains on Earth.
Mm.
So it's going to take, we generally underestimate the amount of energy that is inside of our planet. And to the point where, if you listen to the last episode of Dear Hank and John, you're going to think to yourself, you're going to remember the part where the inside of the Earth has repeatedly killed almost all of the life on the outside of the Earth many times over the course of the history of the planet. So watch out what you do. We probably can't have any effect on it, but as much as we can, we probably shouldn't.
Cool. Thanks. Thanks for that.
Definitely don't use bombs.
Back to Alaska Beria jokes.
Alaska. I'm just like, no.
You know the best thing about it, Hank? I mean, there's a lot of great things about it, but the best thing about it is, you know that that weird line that goes straight down the middle of the world for no particular reason?
Yes, the International Dateline.
Yeah, Alaska Beria.
That actually has a good reason to exist. Thank
Alaska Beria would be the only continent in 2 days.
I bet you're right.
I'm right.
That seems right.
I'm right. It's a 2-day continent, which makes it exceptional.
Which reminds me that this podcast is brought to you by the 2-day continents of Earth. There's one, and we made it up, and you can't. And to all the citizens of Alaska Beria, you're just going to have to get on board.
Well, your nationality doesn't change. It's just that the continent you're living on changes.
Your citizenship does not
change. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Today's podcast is also brought to you by COVID fog. COVID fog, I don't remember anything that happened earlier in the podcast.
And this podcast is also brought to you by my Missoula Osprey baseball cap. Play ball! Mm.
And additionally, today's podcast is brought to you by COVID fog. COVID fog. I'm really... Are we done?
We're not.
Tell me when we're done. We also have Project for Awesome message from Tyler from Montana to Morgan. You are such a ray of hope to everyone in your life. You constantly think about other people and make the world a better place to live in. You're so kind, loving, intelligent, brave, and just plain awesome. You regularly challenge my thinking, all in the name of loving other people better. Being married to you is the absolute best. I love you, and I like you. That's so sweet.
Yeah.
That's great. That's such a critical part of a loving relationship, both loving and liking.
Yeah, absolutely. John, this next question comes from Aaliyah, who asks, Dear Hank and John, my name is Aaliyah.
Don't try to be Ryan, Aaliyah.
It's like the singer spelled differently. Okay, I see. I was scrolling through IG today. The IG, is that what they call it now? The IG?
Oh, God.
Through the gram, through the Iggy today.
Man, when I hear you say those words, it's like everything inside of me like wants to fold up.
I was scrolling through Iggy today.
Dig under the ground and like try to just wait out the winter.
So today I was scrolling through the giggity iggity when I saw a video of some balloons hitting a power line, and it got me thinking. If the electricity flowing through power lines is enough to make those balloons explode in a white light and make a lot of buzzing noises, why doesn't that happen to birds? Furthermore, why do birds stay chilling on power lines? This is urgent, as I see a bird flying toward power lines right now, and I need to know if I should warn him. Best wishes, Aaliyah. First of all, I'm looking forward to redesigning the Instagram logo to say iggity giggity, which they do. They are doing a lot of changes at Instagram, and they and Facebook did just rebrand to Meta.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that it might be time. They could call it the Gram. They could call it IG, but I think that they should call it a giggity iggity.
Iggity iggity.
Iggity
right?
Iggity.
I don't think you want to go a giggity iggity. I think it's iggity iggity.
Iggity iggity.
Yeah.
Okay. Iggity iggity. The Facebook's largest
social media
platform. Why don't
people hire
us
to rebrand their stuff? Like, we're freaking geniuses at it.
We do great work, John. We do great work. So it turns out that if you, now don't try this at home, but if you are just touching the power line and nothing else, you're just part of the system. And the energy is just going on by.
Don't try this at home.
Don't try this at home. And that's why birds can do this. So they just sort of become part of the system. Now, what happens is if a bird, and this does happen sometimes, if a bird bridges the gap between two power lines, they are now part of a new system. And that system allows electrons to go from that one place where there's a lot of electric potential to another place, and they are the bridge. And so you can sometimes actually see when large flocks of birds fly on power lines, this can happen, where they're like, individual birds will be close enough together that they will allow that a spark to arc between the two power lines, and it will be a big thing that will kill a lot of birds.
Mm.
And this is what happened with the balloons. The balloons did not touch a power line. They touched two power lines at once, and that allowed the circuit to get shorted between those two lines.
Wow.
And this will happen sometimes when I saw I don't know what it was, but it was like some kind of predator was chasing some other animal and leaped from one power line to another to try to catch it, and they were both shocked to death.
Wow.
And people were like, why are these two animals just dead on my driveway? And that's what happened.
Wow. Wow.
So don't touch power lines.
Don't
touch power lines and anything else at once. If you're
just
a bird,
don't touch power lines.
If you're listening and you're a bird, it's okay to land on a power line. How else are you going to get recharged?
If you're listening and you're a bird, congratulations. It's amazing.
Yeah, they can hear it through their feet because they're touching power lines.
All right, Hank, before we get to the all-important news from Mars and AFC Wimbledon, I have one question from Andrew, who writes, Dear John and Hank, I'm stuck with mediocre coffee because I live in Canada. And my question is, why are so many U.S. products not available in Canada? We're really not that far away. Andrew. All right, Andrew. Good news. The Awesome Coffee Club is now available in Canada. So I can answer your question broadly, but for our purposes today, what you need to know is that if you go to awesomecoffeeclub.com and you live in the U.S. or Canada, you can get amazing coffee sent to your house on a regular schedule, awesomecoffeeclub.com. The reason it is sometimes hard to get products in Canada is because it's another country. And there's some rules and regulations that are different from the rules and regulations in the U.S., but we've figured it all out.
It's not the physical distance.
It's not the physical distance, it's the rules.
It's the human constructions.
Yes. We can even send it to Alaska-Beria, as long as it is the American or Canadian parts of Alaska-Beria. So awesomecoffeeclub.com.
John, it occurs to me, looking through these questions, that there is no longer any doubt in my mind that Rosianna gave us a bunch of bird questions and it took us this long to notice.
Yeah, it's a lot of bird questions. That's good.
Like,
does
she sometimes do this?
Maybe she does it and we never notice it.
Does she sometimes collect on a theme and we just never notice? It was the bird episode, everyone.
It was the bird spectacular. Oh my God. All right.
We figured out duck, duck, goose.
Hank. AFC Wimbledon in the last 8 days, AFC Wimbledon have played two league football matches. In both of those games, we were up 2-0. 2-0.
Look, John, I'm not going to let you feel bad about being up and then losing or drawing because you're scoring goals. And that's the thing you have to do to win soccer games.
We were up 2-0 against Doncaster. That's true. We're scoring goals.
There was a lot of concern about not being able to score goals at all. And I'm feeling good about you scoring goals.
With 6 minutes remaining in the game on Saturday, we were up 2-0 to Doncaster. And We went ahead and tied 2-2. We gave up two goals in the last 3 minutes of the game.
That sucks.
Then, yesterday, as we're recording this, we played Mansfield Town, everybody's favorite Mansfield Town. We were up 2-0 after 16 minutes, and I was like, this is never going to work. And indeed, it didn't. We then gave up two quick goals, and then our most experienced player, Welsh international Chris Gunter, got a red card in the 45th minute because
that's early.
Yeah, he overreacted to getting the ball kicked in his face. And I would argue that he didn't overreact that much, given that the ball was kicked in his face. But I don't think the referee saw the ball getting kicked in his face. I only think he saw the reaction. So that's how it goes sometimes. Got a red card. We gave up 3 second-half goals. So we lost. After being up 2-0, we lost 5-2.
When you get a red card, you don't just lose the player, right? You also lose like the ability to have that number of people on the
field. So you're down to 10 players for the rest of the game, and
for 45 minutes,
we did not cope.
Minutes.
We did not cope well with that situation. So
I don't feel. I feel like that's maybe a bit of an outlier.
I mean, let's hope.
And other than that, you've not lost any games.
Here's the thing. Since January 1st, Wimbledon have been ahead in 14 league games.
Wow.
Of those 14 games, we have won one.
That's weird. That is weird. I don't know what you're doing, but you are. It does seem like you're doing something wrong.
So it's true that Josh Davison, our very, very inexplicably large bottom tall person, is scoring goals. It's true that Nathan Young Combs, our new, he goes by NYC because those are his initials. It's true that NYC, with his frosted tips in his beautiful hair, has scored two magnificent goals. It's true that there's hope, and yet 14 leads and one victory is like, it's hard to even explain to people who don't watch soccer how impossible that is. There are not that many goals in soccer games.
Yeah.
So, like, leading them usually means that you win them. But not us.
But
we're
not
built
you.
Different.
Well, here's what I think. I think that it's bad luck and that your luck will change.
I mean, let's hope. Let's hope. I feel like I've been on a bit of, I mean, in general, I'm a very lucky person, but I feel like I have not had great luck the last 2 weeks. It is true. I feel like the week you have COVID and your whole family is miserable is the week that you're allowed to lament
whine a little
briefly
bit.
Your luck.
Well, this week in Mars News, scientists have been surprised by the lack of water that they have found underneath the InSight lander. So this is the lander. It's able to sort of like detect stuff, its vibrations and stuff, and that can tell us what's underneath it. And the lander's been exploring the Elysian Planitia and measuring the Mars quakes in the area.
Yeah.
And since exploring this theoretically, and since the area that it's exploring is definitely cold enough to freeze water, the scientists were hoping, wondering if there was going to be any subsurface water. But so far, the top 300 meters of that subsurface hasn't turned up any evidence using the models that we have, sort of like how vibrations move around inside planets, any evidence of water at all. Mars's crust has a bunch of like holes and pores in it. And if those, that would be like places for water to end up and then freeze. But we are not seeing that those spaces are cemented together the way they would be if there was frozen water. We're seeing that they are open. So that doesn't mean that there's no water there. It could just be like different or less than we were expecting. And so it's not plugging up those holes, but it's that we are surprised by how little evidence of water we have found underneath the InSight lander. It's new information and it is curious.
Wow.
But it's just one spot. It's a big planet.
But still, that is weird because it is a spot that was chosen, correct me if I'm wrong, partly because we figured that there would be water underneath.
I don't actually know. I'm sure that it was a thing they did expect to see it. So probably there was some of that.
Wow. Fascinating.
I want 100 ducks, but only for like an hour.
Yeah, I think that's a good business model, Hank. I think you might have just stumbled onto $1 million idea. 100ducksforanhour.com.
Nice. Gosh. Well, there's no...
Actually, knowing Hank, it would be 100 ducks for an HOU.R.
I think 100ducksforanhour.com is available.
I know, but you still, like a lot of times, even when the .com is available, you're like, oh, but my heart sings .club.
It's not true. We couldn't get awesomesocksclub.com. I wanted it.
Yeah, we're definitely not getting it now.
I'm hungry, John. What am I going to eat?
I don't know. Good luck. I haven't been hungry in like 5 days.
John, thanks for making a podcast with me, even though you have bad COVID. And thanks for all of the hat advice. If you want to send us questions, you can do that at hankandjohn@gmail.com. We love to read them and don't have a podcast otherwise. This podcast is edited by Joseph Tunamedish. It's produced by Rosianna Hals-Rojas. Our communications coordinator is Brooke Shotwell. Our editorial assistant is Debuki Chakravarti. The music you're hearing now is by the great Gnarola. And as they say in our hometown,
don't forget to be awesome.